Well, for the past couple of weeks, we have introduced the book of Genesis and creation, understanding it theologically and historically. We know from the Bible itself that the triune God created the universe perfectly for his glory in 6 literal, consecutive, and 24-hour days by his word, out of nothing, creating mankind distinct and special in the image of God. But this evening, I want to get a little bit more personal. Tonight, we're going to wrestle with the text of Genesis 1 through 2, but I want you to behold your God. Tonight, as we open the very sacred, powerful, holy, and living Word of God, understand who your God is. As we read, meditate on what God is saying, chew on it, think on it, let it impact how you think, how you feel, who you are. Understand who you are in light of who God is. Creation simply isn't a theological or scientific debate. It is the Word of God that depicts the very nature of God. I don't believe God gave us this description of how he created the universe to simply debate about God, but to declare who God is. Someone's God is who or what they worship. Your God that you worship is that which you always think about, what you desire, what you love, what you adore. It is your first thought in the morning, it captures your thought during the day, and it's your last thought at night. What is the center of your thought life? What is the object of your affections? Who is your God? The God of the Bible is the subject of creation. It's not about how he did it, but that he did it. And tonight, as we conclude our time in Genesis 1, 1 to 2, 3, we're going to observe 4 realizations of God's character in creation. 4 realizations of God's character in creation. Tonight, behold the God of wonders. Tonight, behold the God of all creation. Tonight, behold the very character and nature of God. Be in awe and realize how God demonstrates who he is through his creation. And the first way he demonstrates this is through his power. So the first realization is the power of God. So if you haven't already, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and as we look at verse 1. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now think about that. Take it in. God created the heavens and the earth. God made all creation. God made the universe and everything in it. This word for creation is the Hebrew word bara. You say bara, bara. It appears 6 times in Genesis 1, 1 through 2, 3. And in this form, it refers to a divine act that's going on. God created the universe and everything in it being a divine and supernatural act. The meaning of bara means literally to shape or to fashion. So when God created the heavens and the earth, he shaped or fashioned them into existence. The word only appears 54 times total in the entire Old Testament, but most often it refers to God's creation back in Genesis 1 through 2. It refers to God creating things out of nothing, ex nihilo. It refers to God creating life and new life, and it refers not only to God creating the heavens and the earth, but also the new heavens and the earth. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever taken art class, but I remember back in 8th grade, we had to form some sort of pottery. We ended up taking the clay, forming it into the shape of animals, putting little beads in it so it could rattle. Now, what I was trying to fashion together was a pig, but it ended up being a cow pig. Camel hybrid, what I'm calling a kiggle. You know, cow, pig, camel hybrid. And it had a bit of a deformed face. It was just, it was ugly. And then I forgot to put the beads inside of it, so I had to put a big hole in it. So now it was just had this ugly-faced cow, pig, camel, giggle creature, and then it had a big gaping hole. It was not good. Not good. Well, when the clay hardened, I brought it home, and I just wanted to hide it, and I was so embarrassed by it, I just wanted to throw it away. But my parents insisted that they see it, so I give it to them, and it was one of those things where they said, "Oh, sweetie, how nice. Let's put it in the basement." They were so loving and supportive, but I think they realized it was this ugly cow, pig, camel, kiggle with hole creature thing. You know, I'm thankful that God is the creator, and that, as the scripture says, he created all things for his glory, including you and me. I think the kiggle creature is just a small example of my own inadequacy, but also the greatness of the almighty, perfect creator. After the end of the sixth literal day creation, Genesis 1:31 says, "God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, a sixth day." God's creation demonstrates his perfect power. He's able to create all things out of nothing perfectly in 6 days simply by the work of his hands. God is the almighty creator. His power is demonstrated through creation clearly, and he is the one true God. And although it may seem clear that he is the one true God and his power is known in creation, there's also a misunderstanding about creation. Very common. When people think God and God created, they think God the Father created. People think God the Father is the creator, God the Son is the Savior, and God the Spirit is the helper who abides with us. But the second realization about God and creation is this: the persons of God. What Genesis 1 depicts is that the triune God created the heavens and the earth. Look at Genesis 1:1-3. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said." The reality is that not only did God create the heavens and the earth, not just Father God, but the triune God. The triune God created all things perfectly for his glory. Each member of the Godhead is involved in the act of creating. Not one member of the Trinity does anything apart from the other. Now, when we say Trinity, what we're saying is that there is one God who exists eternally as three distinct persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all God, but have different roles. In creation, we can see how water takes different forms. Now, there's no perfect illustration for this, but even if we just look at the example of water, water takes liquid form, water. It also takes gas form, as water vapor, and also solid as ice. Now, it's still all water, but just in different forms. And again, there's no perfect illustration for the Trinity, but the point is that there is a relationship between each member of the Godhead, and each are distinct members of the one true God. This means that they don't do anything apart from one another. So although God the Father is referenced as the creator in Scripture, he did not act alone in creation. Each member of the Trinity was involved in creation. Now, for example, the Father planned creation. The Father planned creation. 1 Corinthians 8:6. "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him." Creation exists because of God the Father's predestined will and plan. Ephesians chapter 1. God the Father has planned all things out before creation even existed. Let's see, the way creation was accomplished was through Christ. So not only did the Father plan creation, but the Son proclaimed creation. John 1:1-3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." The Word here refers to Jesus Christ. The spoken word of creation is the Son of God. God speaking creation into existence was the work of the Son. The phrase God said appears 13 times in chapters 1 through 2 of Genesis. And I encourage you to be going through your Bibles and marking up the creation account as we go. And really, whenever you come across a verse that has the name of God or refers to God, you should underline it, highlight it, mark it up, because the text is saying something about who God is. Now here, 13 times, God is speaking creation into existence. God uses words to communicate his will, but he also uses his words to act. Psalm 33, 6 and 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, the word of the Lord. And by the breath of his mouth, all their host. For he spoke and it was done, he commanded and stood fast. God's word is powerful and spoke creation into being. Then the third member, the final member of the Trinity and his act, is that the Spirit performed creation. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. As the Father planned creation according to his will, the Son performed creation, proclaimed creation according to his word, and the Spirit performed creation according to his work. We see this in Genesis 1:1-3. God created, the Spirit moved, God spoke. Planned, proclaimed, performed. Will, word, work. The triune God made creation happen. The persons of God used the power of God to create, and it was perfect. God's plan is perfect. And this is the third realization, the plan of God. There is a reason why the Greek word for world is cosmos and not chaos. God made creation with a plan and a design. He designed it all, which means that there is order. Something that is chaotic is something in complete disorder or confusion. And now, if you have ever been in a big city before, you know what chaos is like. And I don't know, maybe downtown Grand Rapids is this way with Art Prize. But if you ever go to New York City, it's a constant state of chaos. People work, selling hot dogs, stores, street performers, movies, TV shows, musicals, operas, schools, all packed into this little space. Chaos. Or like when a toddler takes off his dirty diaper and runs through the house. Chaos. Or when a teacher doesn't show up for class and the students take over. Mass chaos. Or for any soccer fans out there, when your country wins the World Cup, maybe except for the United States, there might be mass chaos. People on the street flipping over cars, setting things on fire, people being thrown in jail. But listen, God is not chaotic. God is not a God of chaos, but a God of cosmos, a God of order. And even in Genesis 1, he details how his shaping of the universe was very intentional, purposeful, and by design. We could break down the creation account this way. Genesis 1:1 is a summary of what God did. In the beginning, God created the universe. In verse 2, you have that first stage of creation, which is the foundation. Stage number 1 is the foundation. Verse 2 describes a stage being set for what God is about to do. God did things in steps. He didn't just speak it all at once and it vanished out of thin air. Verse 2 describes God's blank slate, the foundation. The earth literally was a desert place, a wasteland. There was nothing on it. It was empty and unfinished. It was dark and just a blob of water. It was just a big, deep ocean surrounded by darkness. But verse 2 says how the Spirit of God was moving or hovering over the surface of the waters. And I love this. The word for hover here, maybe your translation says move. It's used in Deuteronomy 32:11 and describes how an eagle hovers over her nest and surrounds her chicks to take care of them, feed them, carry them, care for them. Now this spring, at our house, we got a bird's nest in our garage. You know where that garage door opener is, on the light of the door opener. Well, within a day, we had left our garage door open, and Mama Bird had come in with Daddy Bird and made a nest and laid their eggs. Now, because it was our garage, we did have to close it from time to time, but we also didn't want the baby birds to be harmed. So whenever we could, we were trying to give opportunities for the birds to lay their eggs. And what's interesting is that every chance they could, they were trying to get into the garage and be with their eggs. They were just hovering outside the garage door. Even when they couldn't get in, the birds would be waiting. They were hovering. They were waiting to take care of their babies. Now, eventually, the chicks were born, and it seemed like every hour, the birds were back taking care of and feeding and surrounding their chicks until they were ready to leave the nest. God works in the same way in creation. It is very personal. God is not detached from what he has created. Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 17, and Acts 17, 28, they tell us that in him we live and move and breathe and have our being. Creation is not separated from the hovering, caring Spirit of God. Very personal and relational. God creates and has authority over and is involved with his creation. God desires a relationship with you, with his creation. He created you unique and special and distinct in the image of God. And he desires that relationship because all creation lives, moves, breathes, exists through him. So as the stage is set, then verses 3 through 13 gives us stage number 2, which is that God gives form to creation. And this is days 1 through 3. This is where God gives form to his blank slate. God didn't just desire to have these beautiful heavens with nothing to fill it with. He desires his creation to be filled and inhabited. Isaiah 45, 18 says that the Lord created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. So what we see in Genesis is that God forms his creation, but also that God fills his creation. And this is stage number 3 in verses 14 through 31, days 4 through 6. Stage number 3 is that God fills. So we have foundation, form, and fill. God not only forms the creation, but he fills his creation. Now look how intentional he is with this. On day number 1, in verses 3 through 5, God creates the light, creating day and night. But then on day 4, in verses 14 through 19, he creates the sun, moon, and stars to fill the day and the night. Now notice on day 2, in verses 6 through 8, he creates the heavens, or the skies, and separating it from the waters to the waters. So there's a distinction between the sky and the waters of the ocean deep. But then day 5, in verses 20 through 23, he creates animals and a specific type of animal. He creates creatures that will fill the sky and heavens that fill the waters below, aka every sea creature and winged bird. So he's creating animals that fill the sky and fill the waters. And then finally, on day 3, in verses 9 through 12, the dry land appears and it sprouts with vegetation. But then day 6, in verses 24 through 31, what would be filled on dry land and eating vegetation? Well, day 6 describes how land animals, livestock, creeping things, and then the conclusion of the creation of man to rule and fill the earth. And then finally, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, day number 7 concludes the creation account with sanctity, with God resting on the seventh day from all that he had done. So you have summary, you have the three stages of foundation, form, and fill, and then you have the final day of sanctity. So can you see God's intentionality here? Can you see God's plan? There's progression. There's planning. There's purpose. God is not a God of chaos. God is in control. Our God is powerful. Our God is majestic. Our God is purposeful. And that gives us the fourth realization of God's character in creation. And that is the purpose of God. The purpose of God. Now, as we have discussed before in walking through the Bible on Sunday mornings, God's purpose for mankind is found in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God's purpose for mankind is threefold: to rule, reflect, and replenish. We are to rule and be stewards of God's creation. We are to reflect and bear God's image in creation, and then we are to replenish or fill the earth with other image bearers. Now, as Christians, we're to even spread the good news of the gospel and disciple others to follow Christ. But let me take this a step further. Although this is how mankind is to fulfill their purpose as God designed it, that's not the end. Listen to Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 through 9. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have ordained, what is man that you would take thought of him, and the son of man that you would care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and the beasts of the fields also, the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." When you think about creation, do you step back and think about the greatness of God and how powerful he is? Do you look up at the night sky and retell of how amazing creation actually is? The stars are just a finger painting to God. It was nothing to him, yet he put thought to create you, to create me, that we would reign with him in glory. But it isn't just for our glory. It's for his glory. And the end of Psalm 8 points to the majesty of God. All glory, all power, all majesty, all praise, all love, all affection must be directed to God. Everything belongs to him. Psalm 19. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse declaring the work of his hands. Friends, behold your God. Do you see the greatness of this God? Do you see his power, his persons, his plan, and his purpose? If you hear these words, the same words that created you and created all things, then listen to them now. God is true. He is the creator. He is God. And all glory belongs to him. His greatness should beg your lowliness. Who am I to even speak because of his great majesty? Who am I to sin because of his power? Do I dare run from him when he is the one who created me and desires my soul, who wants me to love him above all else? Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20. In the context of God declaring that he is creator God, and in verse 5 and 11 and following and 14 and following, he declares how he is the creator and the maker. Verse 18, he talks about, thus says the Lord who created the heavens. And he talks about how there is none beside him. But look at verse 20. He writes, gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced this from of old? Who has long since declared it? Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no God. There is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who are angry at him will be put to shame. And the Lord, all the offspring of Israel, will be justified and will glory. Is your heart angry at God this evening? Is it unbelieving? Perhaps do you not take God seriously as the creator? Can I humbly offer to you four responses to God's character in creation? We had four realizations of God's character in creation, but can we consider four responses to God's character in creation? Number one, repent of your sin. Psalm 51, 10 through 13. After David's horrific sin, he cries out to God in Psalm 51, 10 through 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. That word created is the word bara, the same one from Genesis chapter 1. And he says, create in me a new heart. Ask the creator God who created you to create in you a clean heart, a new heart. And Romans 10:9 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the creator God who can save you, that he is not only your creator, but also your savior? Repent of your sin and enjoy God. Secondly, revere your Lord. Revere your Lord. Listen to Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all the deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, king of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. And he has lifted up a horn for his people, praise for all his godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. The purpose of all creation is to praise the Lord. Will you join in the anthem of creation and praise his name? Bring him glory, revere him, and praise his holy name. Third, remember your creator. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. I love this. Listen to this. Remember also your creator when? In the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Now I know we have said this before, but the patterns you set now in your youth will be the patterns you set for the rest of your life. So let me encourage you. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. Redeem the time. Redeem your youth. Remember your Creator now as a youth. Remember Him and revere Him now. There will be days shortly coming where sin and temptation is going to grow stronger if they haven't come upon you yet. In our youth, time goes by slow, but as you get older, time goes by faster and faster. Don't waste it. Don't get older and look back regretting the decisions you've made in your youth. I had a conversation with somebody in our church recently, and they're in their 90s, and I asked them to share more about themselves. And when they did, you know what was interesting? Is that they talked about their time as a youth. Before high school, college, and then they skipped over 60 or 70 years to tell me more about who they are today. I think that's telling. In your youth, remember your Creator. Remember the time and make the most, not of your own happiness, but for God and His glory. And then number 4, rest in your God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Are you weary or tired? Are you confused or unsure about life? Are you burdened by sin? Your God created all things. He doesn't grow weary or tired. Wait and trust and rest upon Christ, and He will enable you through His Spirit to have new strength in Him. So rest in Him. This is the God of all creation, the God of wonders. Do you realize Him? How will you respond to Him? Who do you worship? Who do you adore? Behold your God. Let us pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity to go through this creation account and really just telling of your glory, O God. That the creation account is meant to point to your awesomeness and majesty and glory. So may we, O God, give you glory, honor, and praise as your creation and have a relationship with you because you desire our love and our joy. So, Father, may we rest in you. May we repent of our sin. O God, may we find our greatest joy not in things of this world and what men have to offer, but God, resting and enjoying you forever. May you receive the glory for this all, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.